Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Innova Captive Limited Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to the management. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Rituja. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our earnings call today to discuss the operational and financial performance for Q2 and H1 FY25. Joining us today on the call, we have Mr. Vinay Kumar Luhariwala, Managing Director, Mr. Lokesh Bhasin, Chief Financial Officer, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. I hope everyone has had the opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which was uploaded on the stock exchanges and on the company's website. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Vinay for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ayush. Good morning, and thank you, everyone, for joining us on our Q2 FY25 earnings call today. Before discussing the business performance, I find immense pleasure to inform you that we have received drug manufacturing license from the Government of Jammu and Kashmir Drug Control Organization, Jammu, for our greenfield plant. With our necessary approval already in place, we have begun manufacturing validation and trial batches. Now, with the receipt of the license, we expect commercialization of the facility within Q3 FY25. Now, let me take you through our business performance in Q2 and H1 FY25, and Mr. Lokesh Bhasin will walk you through the financial performance. We are pleased to announce that Innova Captive has achieved a strong quarter driven by volume growth in CDMO business, sustained momentum in the domestic branded generic sector, increased uptake in the Sterile business, and solid progress in the international market. Our profitability has also seen growth with both margin expansion and a significant improvement in absolute terms. I would also like to take this opportunity to express my sincere gratitude to the leadership team and employees for their unwavering support, as well as their dedication and commitment to improve efficiency and serving our customers. Let me now take you through the performance of each business area. Number one, CDMO business. We cater to some of the largest Indian pharmaceutical companies as our client, with our offering spanning to 2,900-plus products in varied dosage form, which include oral solid, oral liquid, ointments, dry powder injections, and dry powder syrups. Our client base comprises of more than 190 companies, which include 14 of the top 15 companies in the pharmaceutical market. Volume growth in the business was very strong, and we delivered year-on-year revenue growth of 10% in this quarter. For H1 FY25, we recorded year-on-year revenue growth of 5%. We continue to witness traction in the business and are positive on its growth potential. Domestic branded generic. We are engaged in development, manufacturing, and distribution of generic formulation products through our online and offline channel and have a strong network of 1.5 lakh touchpoints of distributors, stockists, and pharmacies with a diverse portfolio offering of over 600-plus products. This business has expanded at an accelerated pace over the past few years, and this quarter was no less. We clocked the highest-ever revenue in a quarter of INR 59.1 crore, registering year-on-year growth of 19% for H1 FY25. The business grew 21%. International branded generic. We export our formulation product to 25-plus countries and have 148 active registrations. We have a strong pipeline of 72 in-process product dossiers for exports. The business is also growing at a rapid pace and recorded year-on-year growth of 13% in Q2 FY25. For H1 FY25, the business registered year-on-year growth of 12%. Sarron has strong formulation and API manufacturing capabilities with manufacturing units in Dehradun and Taloja, Maharashtra. Sarron recorded year-on-year revenue growth of 11% in this quarter. For H1 FY25, Sarron recorded revenue of 97.4 crore. Coming to our innovation endeavor, we boast a dedicated R&D laboratory and pilot equipment located in Baddi, Himachal Pradesh, recognized by DSIR for its in-house R&D work. The state-of-art facility is equipped with a comprehensive suite of necessary tools for developing solid oral liquid dosage form, including RMG, FBD, compression machine, and autocoders. Along with this, we are setting up a new R&D facility in Panchkula, which will focus on increasing our product offering and development of complex generic formulation. Moving on to our manufacturing capabilities, we take great pride in the excellence of our production facility. Our manufacturing units are accredited by leading global regulatory bodies, including WHO GMP, EU GMP, and the UK MHRA. These certifications not only reflect the highest standard of quality we maintain, but enable us to reach market around the world with confidence. Our new facility in Jammu will consist of four blocks, including cephalosporin, BFS, general block, penem, penicillin, allowing us to manufacture a diverse range of products. These will include oral solid doses, dry powder injection, dry syrup, BFS, large volume parenteral and respiratory response products. The addition of the facility will bring our total number of manufacturing facility to 5, with 9 independent manufacturing blocks. With this expansion, we will significantly broaden our product portfolio, which now cover even more specialized formulation from BFS and large volume parenteral to respiratory therapies and ointments. The strategic expansion in Jammu, backed by a proven track record demonstrated by our strong fixed asset turnover ratio, position us well to scale operation and generate substantial revenue. As we continue to grow, we remain confident in our ability to leverage these capability and meet the rising demand in the Indian pharmaceutical market, which is poised for sustainable growth. At Innova Captive, we are focused on tapping into the immense opportunity. Our goal is to keep the organization progressive, innovative and future ready as we work to provide high quality healthcare solution to patients worldwide. This brings me to close my opening remark, and I would now like to call on Mr. Lokesh Vaseen, our CFO, to share his view on the financial performance for the quarter.
Thank you, sir, and good morning, everyone. I will now take you through the financial highlights for Q2 and H1 FY25. For Q2 FY25. In Q2 FY25, we recorded consolidated revenue of ₹318.2 crore with a year-on-year growth of 12.5%. The business mix was as follows. CDMO contributed around 52% for the quarter. Domestic branded generics was around 19%. International business was 13%, while Sarron contributed 17%. In absolute terms, business area-wise revenue were as follows. CDMO was ₹165.1 crores vis-a-vis ₹149.6 crores in quarter 2 FY24. Domestic generic business, we have achieved a sale of ₹59.1 crores versus ₹49.5 crores in Q2 FY24. International branded generics, this quarter revenue was ₹40.5 crores versus ₹35.57 crores last year. Sarron, ₹53.6 crores versus ₹48.1 crores in Q2 FY24. EBITDA margins improved by 80 basis points to 16.3% versus 15.5% in Q2 FY24. On absolute basis, EBITDA grew 18.6% to INR 51.9 crores. Profits after tax witnessed strong YOY growth of 52.8% to rupees 35 crores, driven by higher EBITDA margins and reduced finance cost. PAT margins expanded by 290 basis points to 11%. Now coming to H1 FY25, revenues came in at rupees 612.5 crores with year-on-year growth of 19%. The business mix was 54% from CDMO business, 18% from domestic branded generic business, 12% from international business, and 16% from Sharon. In absolute terms, business area-wise revenue for H1 FY21-25 were as follows: CDMO rupees 332.8 crores versus rupees 316 crores in H1 FY24. Domestic generic business INR 110.5 crores versus rupees 91.6 crores in H1 FY24. International branded generics rupees 71.8 crores versus rupees 60.5 crores last year. Sharon rupees 97.4 crores. It may please be noted that Sharon was consolidated in our financials after 30th of June 2023 last year. EBITDA margins increased to 15.7% versus 14.8% during the same period previous year. On an absolute basis, EBITDA grew 26.2% to rupees 96.2 crores. Profit after tax for H1 FY25, this number was rupees 64.5 crores with a year-on-year growth of 59%. Our balance sheet continues to remain strong. We have repaid all our debts excluding the term loan borrowed for our Jammu project, which carries an interest subvention benefit of up to 6%. With this, we would like to conclude the presentation and open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants present at the audio bridge who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amey Chalke from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question and congrats to Vinayji and Lokeshji for reporting.
Sorry to interrupt you, but can you please speak a bit louder? We cannot hear you, sir.
Is it audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, so first question I have is we have reported 10% growth in CDMO. Is it fair to assume now that 10% is sort of volume growth what we are delivering and considering prices are now stabilized, or is it still there is still negative impact of prices built in these numbers?
So, Ameya, the growth that we have received 10% year on year on CDMO business is mainly driven by volume growth. And you're right, it is mainly driven by volume growth. So there is not any negative impact on pricing. So year-on-year pricing impact is more or less neutral.
Sure. And the second question I have on the trade generic side, the 23% growth which we have reported, is it led by seasonality or should we assume this as a quarterly run rate for trade generic going ahead?
So yes, there are multiple reasons for growth in a business. But as far as this growth is concerned, it is constituent of mix of both seasonality as well as the organic growth on which our business has been working for quite some time.
Okay. So going ahead, there could be slight normalization basically, but we will continue to grow.
Yes. And I would expect that the growth momentum will increase and we should be within this range itself.
Sure, sure. And the third question I have is on the Jammu benefits which we will be getting related to GST and interest subvention. So how would we report going ahead just from the modeling perspective? Will it come in the revenue line, other operating income, or will you adjust in expenses? Like that would be helpful.
So, Ameya, yes, we are having a few viewpoints and we are still discussing this with our statutory auditors. And as per the applicable India standards, we will account for those line items accordingly.
Okay, sure, sure. And any reason for the gross margin improvement this quarter? Anything to highlight? Are these gross margins sustainable going ahead?
This is mainly due to this quarter, the at a consolidated level, the increasing gross margins are mainly due to the product mix as well as the sales mix. And we expect to remain in the range of EBITDA margin in the range of 15 to 17% on a long-term basis.
Okay.
Actually. Sure.
Take care. Thank you so much. I will join with. Thank you.
Thank you, Mia.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Sarthak Nautiyal from AKG CJ Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, Vanessa. Congratulations for the great set of numbers and as you have achieved the highest ever net profits.
Thank you.
Audible?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Sir, so just wanted to know one thing. Sir, can you give us a segregation of gross margin on different segments? So CDMO, API, and branded. Hello.
So, Sarthak, normally we do not track gross margins at a business area level.
Okay, you don't track that. But sir, just wanted to know why we have the lesser gross margin as compared to our competitors, Ecom and Windlass. Like they are having 35-38% level of gross margin.
So, it will be difficult for us to comment on the competitor gross margin because everybody is having the different set of product and different style of market. So our is like we need to be competitive for our customer and as well as we need to generate a good ROE, ROCE for our investor. So that is our punchline.
Okay, so sir, what kind of gross margin we can expect in future?
So gross margin basically depend on the product mix, sales, business area and all that. But largely if we see historically that remain in the same territory. Like in Innova, if we see our gross margin remain in the territory of say 24-28% territory and due to the Seron and Univentis consolidation, our gross margin improved to set say 35% of range, right? 32-35% range. So we see the gross margin or the material margin in the same range in the future also.
Okay. So like our API business has better margins. I guess it have a lower margin than other segments, right?
So as Lokesh informed that we don't track the segment-wise margins, but more or less what we see is it's the same range.
Usually API get lesser margins than the other segment, right?
Yes, you are right. But in our case, our API is mostly our sales come from the export or regulated or semi-regulated market. So therefore, our margin profile in the API also in the same range.
Okay. Okay. So, do we have any entry barriers in our kind of business?
So, of course, the entry barrier is there. If you see our domestic CDMO business, you will find there are only few companies who have crossed the 1,000 crore marks, right? So now, as you see that the regulator also has imposed a lot of things like the revised schedule now the pharma plant is like it's a big investment. So as we have now invested 450 crore approximately in our Jammu facility. So initially, if you see in our inception, our first plant was we have the gross block of only 5-6 crore. So in the last 15-20 years, there is a day-night change in the plant side, investment side, and the technology side. Then you need to have the product dossier, document availability, product development, everything. So these all things create a entry barrier in the industry. And of course, the relationship with the big customers, that is also matter. That like we have more than 5 years or 10 years relationship with our all marquee customers. So that also somehow play a role in our business relations.
Okay, sir, just the last question. So in 2024, we have achieved a revenue of 1,085 crores. So are we going to double this revenue in the next 3 years with our Jammu facility?
Yes. So if you see, Jammu is having the revenue potential of, say, 1,200-1,300 crore in the next 5 years, and we see that in the next year, we will do approximately, say, 500 crore, right? By starting the facility in the next December, the revenue and the plant will be stabilized in Q4, and from the Q1 to next year, the full fourth quarter will be available to us, and we expect a 400-500 crore revenue next year, right? So with the help of Jammu and existing business growing at a healthy rate, we see that the revenue could be double from here to 2,500 crore in next 3 year time.
Okay, so we'll be growing at a CAGR of 35% something.
Yeah, 25-30%, 25% plus. So 3 year doubling is, I think, 26%.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So just taking, you know, forward on, you know, the Jammu facility that is coming in. I mean, next year you said that 500 crores is possible, and if my understanding goes, when did I say that 3 to 4 times asset turn is possible, historically, that's what we have done. You know, we should be able to do between 1,500 to 2,000 crores of incremental sales, I mean, over the next few years. My question is more to understand on the margin side. I mean, today when we look at our margin chart, you know, probably 15.5% plus, and it has only been increasing over the last few years. When I'm looking at the mix going forward, Sharon has got better margins. Your Jammu, if I add back the GST, it will obviously have significantly better margins in the current business. My thought process is, say, FY26, that is in the near term, and probably, say, 2-3 years down the line, as the, you know, capacity utilization goes up with higher margins, where do you think your margins should kind of stabilize? And so my second question is, now that, you know, our debt is zero, and the next 2 years we are going to, you know, generate fair amount of cash. And, you know, the fact is that we still have Jammu, I mean, still, you know, adding another 1,500 to 2,000 crores of sales. So where do we plan to deploy the cash for additional?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So regarding your first question on margins, so on a long-term basis, at a steady state, when our Jammu is stabilized, and you are absolutely right, we are having a better margin profile in Sharon. And from Jammu, we are also looking forward to cover certain amount of additional benefit despite being transferring or passing through some of the benefits to customers. So on a long-term basis, we are looking at our gross EBITDA margins in the range of 17%-19%. Yeah. So the second question is regarding the.
And next year, sir, I mean, I'm just trying to understand, is the cost of Jammu largely going to impact us in the near term, or should we start seeing the margin expansion, you know, as we actually just find it growing there?
Sudarshan, can you please repeat your question?
No, I'm just trying to understand. You talked about margin expansion, I mean, 18%-19%, which, you know, is very strong. But as the Jammu facility comes next year and we achieve the 500 crore target, should we start seeing the margin expansion next year itself? I mean, just trying to understand the cost and benefit.
Yes, Sudarshan, see, when I'm saying margin expansion, so you would appreciate that there is always a ramp-up phase, and first it's a soft stabilization, and then there is a stabilization, then steady-state phase. So the way I am looking at it, so when I am able to reach at a steady state of Jammu, somewhere in the range of 700-900 crores, we should be positively looking at a benefit on growth, margin expansion, and from there, we should move upward on margin also.
Sure, sir. And on the cash side?
Yeah. So it's a very good question that there will be a surplus cash when we move forward. So this can be deployed towards the acquisition or the greenfield project. So the acquisition could be some strategic fit for us. So some, say, like we are not present in the multiple section like hormone or the liquid injectable, right? So if we find some opportunity to acquire some asset in that category, that can be done, or we can look at the greenfield project also.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot, I'll join back.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
So I have two questions. One on Jammu, when you are at 30% utilization next year or less than 30%, let's say, so about 30-35%, will you be having a company-level margin or this at 35%, Jammu unit will be margin dilutive? That's number one. Number two, the blocks that you're adding at Jammu, the blocks that you're creating at Jammu, are these complementary to your existing product offering in the CDMO, or they are expansion of capacities of your existing offerings in CDMO?
Yeah.
So, see, Pritesh, on the Jammu margin standpoint, so by next year, in most probably when we are reached to a level of somewhere around 400-500 crores, so our margin should be within line of our at the company level margin. And as I stated earlier also, when we are going to achieve that 700-800 crore level, from there, we should see the expansion in our margins.
Okay. My second question on blocks that you've created.
Yeah. So we have four blocks there in Jammu. The one block that cephalosporin is already we have, that is the common in the Jammu or Baddi. And then rest three blocks are new to our basket. So they.
Additional offerings to your CDMO customer?
Pardon, come again? Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, you need to repeat.
Hello.
Mr. Pritesh.
Hello.
Please go ahead with your question because your line is not clear.
Okay. So I was saying that the three blocks that you're referring to, one you said is cephalosporin, so I'm assuming it's capacity expansion of existing offering. Everything else is a newer offering to your CDMO customer?
Yes. Yes.
So in 75%. Yeah.
75% you can. Yeah, please go ahead.
Sorry, sir. Please, you go ahead, sir.
So what I'm saying that 75% of the portfolio is the new to our basket.
Okay.
That will be a new offering to our CDMO customer. And if you see the cephalosporin is already we have the UGMP certification. So that facility we will dedicate for, say, catering to ROW and regulated market in export. And Jammu facility will cater the domestic business for even for the cephalosporin. So there we, as you know, that we have the 12% GST incentive for the domestic sale.
Okay. I understood, sir. And when you say 75%, we are assuming 75% of the 1,200 crore revenue, 1,200-1,500 crore revenue that this block can generate, right? That's how we should take 75%.
Correct. Yeah. Roughly, you can say. Yeah.
Okay. My last question is, being a CDMO player where you are selling largely servicing Indian pharma companies, what is the thought process behind creating your own branded generic?
So let's say that we see that as an independent vertical of the branded generic business, and that is in name and style of Unventis Medicare, and they are working there independently in the market. And Unventis also helps us in early identification of product. And what you can say that we are near to market. We have the market intelligence, market insight because of the Unventis. So we can understand the market better, and we can serve the CDMO customer also because of that Unventis in a better way.
Will the product lines be similar as what you would supply to a domestic CDMO and what you have as an offering in branded generics?
Yes, it is generally it could be similar to the offering to the Univentis. We treat in Innova, we treat Univentis as a CDMO customer only.
Okay. Univentis is where we have direct holding or anything, or?
So it's a 100% subsidiary of Innova Capital.
Okay. Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Does it,
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abdul Kader Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on good set of numbers. So my first question is on the Jammu facility. Could you please highlight what is the total capex you have incurred so far on this plant?
So the estimated capex on this facility is 450 crores, Abdul.
Okay, and that is entirely spent, or is there any balance to happen?
Almost on this range. We are already on the ballpark of this range.
Okay. When we talk about commercializing the facility in Q3, so we are commencing operations at all the four blocks, or that will happen in a staggered manner?
So this will be like all together.
Okay. And just one more on the Jammu. So, sir, I mean, we are talking about generating 500 crores of sales, and this is almost equivalent to the current CDMO revenues what we have. So, I mean, what is the, what is driving this confidence in terms of, the sales which we can achieve? Do we have certain commitments from your existing customers, or, what's the plan which can drive this kind of a sales ramp up here?
Yeah. So, Abdul, as we are in the last leg of starting the facility, we are in discussion with our all marquee customers, and we are getting a very good response. So, based on that feedback and requirement, we are confident that we will achieve this target of 400-500 crore sale in next year.
Okay. And so just on the incentivization, so, I mean, how does this work? Is it only applicable on the third-party sales or what, you would be, for the products what you would be manufacturing at Jammu, or is it for, your subsidiaries also, what you typically do at your Baddi plant? So will that, manufacturing also get covered under the incentivization plan?
So from Jammu, whatever we sell to the domestic customer, including our subsidiary, on arm length basis, that will be covered.
Got it, sir. I'll get back into the queue and wish you all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Abdul.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiten Boricha from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is again on the Jammu capacity. So just wanted to understand, you mentioned we are going to do a revenue of around 500 crore next year. So at what sales this Jammu facility comes at break-even level, sir? So the question I am asking is because I wanted to understand this impact on the margin. So if our Jammu facility is starting commercializing in Q3, the cost is going to come in Q3 and Q4 itself, right? So just wanted to understand the impact on margin in H2.
Right. So, Hitesh, if you see, generally it takes, say, 6 months to 1 year to cross the break-even level. But in Jammu, what is the beauty that we have the 12% GST incentive, right?
Hmm.
So, our expectation is that after Q4, means even in Q4, there may be some lag. But from the Q1 next year, we will cross the break-even level and start positive EBITDA generation from the Q1 next financial year.
Understood, sir. But my answer is not clear. So, want to understand, if are we going to generate revenue in Q3 and Q4 also? And if we are generating a revenue, it will be an EBITDA loss, right, on Jammu facility. So, eventually, it should expect a 15% margin on blended basis.
Right. So, in as we are saying that we will start commercialization in the next month. So, in December, the revenue number will be very less.
But from the Q1, numbers will start updating. And next year, it will be EBITDA positive.
Okay, okay. So there is no cost incurred in H2 from Jammu facilities. That is my understanding correct? So this 15% margin is going to sustain?
At company level, yes.
Okay, okay sir, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Chheda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations on excellent set of numbers and just commercializing the Jammu plant soon. Sir, a few questions first on Jammu and then the other businesses. On the Jammu plant, will you be doing only CDMO or you would be doing their domestic branded international generics from that plant?
So at Innova Captab level, if you see, we will sell to Univentis Medicare also. That is our domestic branded generic arm, right? So we treat that as a CDMO. But in consolidation, that revenue go and fit in branded generic business. And this facility will be, we will target the export business also. We will register in the ROW and semi-regulated, regulated market as well in, as the time proceed. So the facility will be a replicate of our Baddi facility that we are doing the export business, the CDMO business and trade generic, our domestic trade generic, branded generic business also.
Second thing on your guidance of 4-500 crores Jammu turnover in next fiscal, this purely would be an incremental turnover or there would be some cannibalization effect of the Baddi turnover also, since obviously there are very high incentives from this plant. So obviously when this ramps up, majority of the sales to be booked from the new plant makes more sense. But my question was that will there be a cannibalization of some part of the turnover from the Baddi plant here?
So the 500 will be the incremental turnover. There will be some cannibalization from the Baddi facility. The domestic cephalosporin business will be transferred to the Jammu facility. But as we have the capacity constraint in our existing cephalosporin facility, this facility will be used for export to the ROW and the regulated market. And we are hopeful that in that category of the we will get the order there also from the ROW market in our Baddi cephalosporin facility. So overall, what we expect is the 500 crore will be the incremental turnover.
On the third question, sir, if I see your CDMO revenues from the presentation for last 3 years, it was on a declining trend, whereas the customers were going up. So I understand part of this was probably due to pricing pressure, though there would have been volume growth. Can you throw some light since last 3 years, CDMO has declined from 687 to 680 to 622 in FY24. We have managed growth in first half and this quarter looks to be a very strong 10% growth, and I think at the start of the conference call you mentioned this was purely driven by volume and price has stabilized. So can you throw some light of what happened in last 3 years where CDMO turnover was declining despite increase in customer count and now it has started growing? What has happened? Do some accounts have given some clients have given a big sales or what has happened in first half?
Yeah, sure, Bhavin. If you see that after COVID there is a decline in the API prices. So as you know that our pricing with our customer is the transfer through model, that if the API price goes up, our price goes up, and if it is reduced, then our transfer price is also reduced. So due to the, there is a continuous price decline, we see that top line decline in the case of CDMO. But if you see the volume in the CDMO sector, there is a consistent volume growth in the CDMO section. So that's why the margin gets better. If we say there is an API price reduced or transfer price reduced, but our margin, that's why improved in that margin is basically a function of the totally a function of, say, volume. So that's why our margin gets improved. And this quarter, what we have seen is that there is a normalization in the API price. Now there is no further decrease or more or less the price are in the stability territory. So that's why we witnessed the growth in the top line also.
Sure. That will be helpful. Last one on generics, branded domestic plus international has reached 100 crore run rate in this quarter and also grown at almost like 17-18% combined, I'm saying. So will this continue and what kind of scalability you are projecting here in 2-3 years?
So let me take the first domestic branded generic business. So last year we have done almost 200 crore, and that business has last year also witnessed a 25% growth. So we see the same momentum to continue in the near future. So there we can grow at the same level of 20-25%+ in the near future. And as far as the international branded generic is concerned, with the acquisition of Theron Biomedicine, so that is 100% or what we can say 85% revenue come from the export only that covers the regulated, non-regulated market. And with the Innova, we are well focused on our international market presence also. And with the Jammu facility, we are going to register that facility also into the export markets in the different territory. And we feel that the same growth rate will be continuing in that segment also.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Sapre.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Rohan Vora from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So sorry if the question was already answered. I joined the call a little late. So my question was on the interest cost. So basically, we see borrowings on the balance sheet. However, interest cost has substantially reduced over the last two quarters. So what is the reason for that? Thank you.
Yes, sir. So the borrowings are still there, but so the major part of the borrowing is of 230 crore of term loan that we have taken on our Jammu project. And that loan carries an interest subvention benefit of up to 6% on the overall rate. So hence, that is the main reason why you are able to see the debt, but the cost is not growing that much in the P&L.
Okay. And when does the cost start flowing to the P&L?
So post-commercialization.
Okay. So basically, Q3.
Even at that time also, the net landed cost of our interest would remain at a range of 2-2.5% only after considering the interest subvention benefit.
Okay. So 2-2.5% will be the impact in the P&L in the coming quarters?
Yes. After commercialization of the project.
Got it. Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik V. K. from Suyash Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon. A couple of clarifications. You were answering the question on pricing for CDMO. Can you elaborate a bit more? How do you benchmark your API prices? What is the benchmark? And how do you determine your markup? Some thoughts on that would be helpful.
So the API price is the market price, the price at which we are buying the API. So that is available to the customer also and to us also, right? And then let's say we have the bill of material cost and then the cost of conversion, cost of packing, analytical cost, and then we have the markup, margin markups.
Right. And typically, how low do you go, sir? I mean, assuming there is competition, how do you work backwards? Do you work on, say, 18% IRR basis, 24%? How exactly do you think about that? I'm asking this because if it's a cost-plus model, it seems fairly attractive for incumbents, which is why I'm asking you this question.
So that is in line with the industrial standard, that profit margin, cost of conversion, cost of packing are in line with the industrial practice.
Okay. So the other thing, sir, can you elaborate on what would be your typical, shall we say, market share for a particular customer for a particular molecule? Would you have some sense of that? What is the highest you would be supplying to any customer and a range in which you would be typically supplying?
So, sir, basically market insight about the detailed data of the CDMO is not available. So it is difficult to comment on this question.
You would have some sense of at least what volumes they purchase and therefore how much of that you cater to?
No, sir. No. We cannot track that.
Okay. Fair enough. Thanks for answering the questions and best wishes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar Tanna from Alchemy Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for a elaborate discussion on Innova. I have one question. What are our thoughts in, what is the capacity utilization in Sharon currently and what are our thoughts in ramping up that asset?
So, yes. So, our capacity utilization currently is, formulation is around, ranging between 45% to 50%. And considering the normal formulation business, the optimum capacity range between 70 to 75%. So since its acquisition, we have already started working on developing the products. And as already submitted that Sharon is into regulated market in exports. So basically onboarding a customer or onboarding a product is a carries a long gestation period. So that period, resources and product investment has already been started with the help of our R&D and our strong RE team. So over the next coming year, we were very much positive to ramp up this available capacity through introduction of new customers and new products.
So do you expect that, you know, you will be able to ramp it up to 70-75% in FY26?
The way we see it, we are looking at a growth of roughly around so the way we are looking is, since as I briefed that it is these things, regulated market onboarding carries some longer gestation time. So the way we look at it is that we are looking at growth of Sharon in early teens of in coming years.
Got it. Second thing, sir, just one clarification. The since we have not commercialize the Jammu plant and hence the CWIP is showing still on as on September. Is my understanding correct?
Yes, you are absolutely right. We are showing a CWIP of 452 crores on 30th of September and the majority of it is carries our Jammu project cost.
So now since that plant will get commercialized in this quarter, this will move to the growth block. Is that correct?
Exactly. Correct. This will move to PPE accordingly.
Got it. Thank you so much and all the best, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. My question
Sorry
is on the CDMO side.
Can you please speak a bit louder? We cannot hear you, sir.
Sure, I'll do that. Sir, my question was on the CDMO segment. So, you know, given the schedule M changes, how is that impacting some of the larger players like us? You know, how has been the movement from a lot of formulation companies, marketing companies to, you know, established CDMO players like us? If you can elaborate upon that and, you know, how do you see the impact of the same on our growth over the next year or so?
Ankit, I'm sorry, but can you please repeat the question? We were not able to hear you properly.
Sure, sir. I'll repeat that. So my question was on the CDMO segment, you know, given the changes in the schedule M, which has happened from the government, how do you think, you know, this is expected to benefit an established and, you know, well-maintained plant player like us? So if you can elaborate on that, you know, how has been the inquiry pipeline from formulation players post this, you know, changes are taking place.
Yeah.
So in if you see, there is an implementation of revised Schedule M, and due to this new act, new revised Schedule M, there is a strictness in the plant guideline, and so that is at par with what we can say is the international guideline. As most of our facility is having SRA approvals like EU-GMP or MHRA or WHO-GMP, so we are complying with the all these guidelines. So we see it as a positive trigger. The industry will further consolidate to the larger player due to this implementation of the sticker norms.
Sure, but you know, have you already started seeing some changes in you know, how the in the inquiries from the formulation players, from the marketers?
Yeah, definitely. So so this is happening since last 1 or 2 years, that the business is getting consolidated towards the larger player.
Sure. Has there been, you know, a few instances of some of this smaller players shutting their shop or available for sale, or their plant is available to sale to larger players like you?
So that is the part and parcel of the business that always happen, that consolidation and all that. But we need to look at that if the plant is complying and it is strategically fit, then only we can go and go ahead with the acquisition.
Sure, sure. And, you know, our plans to, you know, set up almost or spend almost 450 crore in the Jammu plant, it was also, in, like, was also, you know, like we had thought about it, keeping in mind the revised guidelines which have happened in Schedule M.
Yes. So the Jammu facility is designed and in compliance with the all international guidelines as well as our local FDA guidelines. And it is a state-of-art facility complying with the old guidelines, as well as, let's say that all equipments are with the latest technology.
Sure, sure. Thank
so
you.
So efficiency-wise also, one is the guideline, other is the operational efficiency. So this facility will give the highest efficiency to us.
Sure, okay, okay. Thank you, Chan. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us in the earning call. We appreciate your time and showing interest in our company. In case of any inquiry, you can get in touch with us or SGA, our investor relation advisor. We look forward to meeting all of you over the next call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Innova Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.